Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crit or Die.
That's right, Bears love gaming.
Actually, it might change a little bit today.
There might be some adjustments.
A new challenger has entered.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we do that, we just want to, you know, I just want to say hello, Bear.
Hi, other Bear. How's it going?
So nice.
It's nice to be sitting next to you and talking to you again.
I know. It's been a few episodes where it's just been Bears love gaming, but I honestly think that this might actually change now.
Yeah, no. There's been a lot of hardcore Bear loving right now, and I think we have to introduce a new beast into the mix.
Oh, yeah. This is going from Bears love gaming to the Three Amigos. I think that's what we're going to call it. Everybody, you've seen it on Instagram. You've seen it on social media that we've announced it. We have our new co-host, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Thank you, 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 thank you.
Welcome to our house, our house of gaming, our harlot house of gaming.
Yes, in a new location. Actually, we are filming on location.
recording on location.
We're recording
at
location.
The new gaming harlot house.
Yes,
in my den.
In your den.
In my otter den, I guess. I don't know if
otter.
I'm a bear.
No, you're not really an otter because you got like a little silver fox thing going. So.
That's why we didn't want to say bears. I said it, when we talked about it earlier, I said Centurions, but that's really racist TV show. I don't want to.
That's just a bad TV show.
I was describing that to you.
That's like 80s, early 90s garbage.
Yeah, so this is going to be now, as everybody knows, we do introductory episodes whenever we have a new host. So first, Jeff, I want to ask you, why do you, like, what is it that you, that brings you into loving gaming so much?
I've played games since I remember from when I was a little kid, Monopoly, Mousetrap.
Yeah.
That was one of like my first games I still remember was Mousetrap.
Did you buy it because of the setup?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you see that fucking commercial.
Sometimes you wouldn't even just play it. You just keep doing the like the Rube Goldberg machine.
I've never played that game because I've only set it up just to execute it, and I put it away. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't need this anymore.
Can I ask what was the actual?
I have no idea.
Like, you're making me lead my mouse to get caught?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that was the premise of it.
I think the mouse is not supposed to get caught, but you kind of want it to get
caught. So you take it all the way over there. What if it just... So if you lose, if it doesn't work?
I don't understand. That means you're cheering for your mouse to get executed?
Like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's really dark.
Yeah, I just realized I bought my son a copy of it.
Oh, no.
Cryptic.
Oh, no.
My four-year-old kid has a copy of it in his room.
And you just see him, he executes you, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I got to stop this.
This is how it begins.
This is how the new generation learns. This is the beginning of fucking, what's that Schwarzenegger movie?
Jingle All the Way?
No.
Oh, sorry, you said horrible.
Was it the Running Man?
You said horrible.
Batman and Robin?
Your son will become Mr. Freeze. He makes really bad ice puns.
But chill.
Chill out. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
So great.
So good.
Love it.
It hurts me so much.
It is
I hate the fact that Uma Thurman, this wonderful, beautiful woman, is turned into like the most fabulous of drag queens. Like she is like on a level that transcends like, because there's like being over the top, right? You get
right.
And then you have, like, to the point where it is like a RuPaul setup.
Which, pretty much.
Consider it, like, there's stories that have come out for Batman Forever and for Batman and Robin of how the director directed it, and I'm like, oh, it completely makes sense why this was just, like, super fabulous.
All the cast has said it that it was a bad.
Oh no! Yeah, it was
bad choice of. Of career to do that movie.
They have eyes.
Oh God!
They've seen it.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm sorry. We went off tangent
number one.
That took us all three minutes. I love it.
And then just recently, there's been kind of a renaissance in gaming since like 2009, 2010, and I rekindled that because I was really into video games for a long time there, and I still am, but. I played Settlers of Catan. That was like the first one of the new
That's been the one that's gotten so many people to get pulled back into this.
And it's amazing because I really don't like that game.
Really?
And it's amazing.
Well, it It's not for everyone, but I've come to realize, and I mean I might be jumping ahead, but I kind of starting to like that European style of games.
Oh, there's a really strong definitive line between like Western and American style and like European style games.
Right. And the thing is, my typical gaming group, I've had the same gaming group since I was 15 years old. I'm 35. I'm going
to
be 36 in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's great. Same group.
Yeah, so that's another thing is I got really into role-playing and Dungeons & Dragons. We've done Pathfinder. We've done Scion. We've done Werewolf, Vampire. Like, we've done everything. With Chewy. Chewy's been our DM for 15 years.
Awesome. That's Will for
That's Will for everybody, also known as
Chewy.
Yeah.
The Sea Bear,
yes. As Sea Bear.
And then there's just the games that have been coming out are so different from what we grew up with.
Yeah.
The theming, the experience.
Complexity.
Yeah. It's just it blows my mind and it's really gone and it's become my new fascination. Like, I showed you guys my collection.
Yeah, but
that's nice.
Which, by the way, we will post that on Instagram.
Picture just like,
see, there is a reason why we wanted him on this podcast. Yeah.
And my wife's had to. She's tried to put a limit on me. She said we don't have room until you make more room, and I spent an entire Saturday making room.
You're looking like, how do I maximize the amount
exactly,
of space I have here?
Exactly. So I maximized the space, and now I have room for probably like another 15 games.
Yes.
Oh,
so I'm
nice.
Working on it. I had to stop myself because I was buying pretty much a game a month.
Oh.
Ooh. That'll add up.
So for that, you might as well just get a subscription box where they just send it to you a month. For that.
Right, I almost did, but the thing is, it's weird. Like, I get really caught in by theming. Mm-hmm. There's some games that I've gotten that aren't great, but the theming, I was like, oh, I need to get it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, Firefly has, like, a bunch of board games.
See, that was one where I knew, of like, that's rife for, like, good and some really bad licensing.
Right.
Yeah, and same thing with Resident Evil.
You told me that at the game night.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty terrible.
It's a great, great franchise. A great idea for trying to do a deck building game.
Yeah.
Horrible execution.
Yeah, definitely not good.
It sucks when the side game to that game, to the main game, is better than the main game.
Well, because, okay. I mean, having the Mercenaries mode, it actually feels more designed for something like a deck building game instead of actually trying to, like, break down doors and stuff. It kind of felt like a busted munchkin.
Okay.
I'm definitely going for something like that. But yeah, well, let's get back. Now we're talking about the past. It's interesting because you've had like the same gaming group for so long.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask if you had gone into it, into gaming more as like a social thing, but it sounds like you already have like your social group. Have you found a way to maybe extend that to new people from either going to game stores or something like that?
There wasn't really a lot of game store options down here up until recently.
Yeah.
Now they've opened up a lot more stores in the area, so it's opened it up a lot more to the option of doing that. We've had people come in from time to time, and they've joined the games, but it's an every Sunday commitment. Like, we meet every Sunday.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can't do that. So it's been a very much of like a journeyman. Like, they just kind of show up.
They come when they can.
Play a little bit, and then
it's like a collective. You're gonna have some of the core group, but then there's going to be new people that shed in and out type of thing.
Right.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, that's a great – actually, that's still really – it is great to see something like that, especially when now the way the revolution of gaming is as far as tabletop is, there is so many – I'm trying to think right now. There's one right now for Attack on Titan version that I want to play.
Yeah, I saw
when
that.
When it's a co-op slash versus game. You know, it that is something I want to put into there. I know that we just did.
There's that Portal one we keep seeing.
The Portal
that
game.
I'm dying to fucking try it. Every time we go to Mac and Chess, we see it. And like, we're going to play that one today, and we never end up playing it.
I'm waiting for them to get the Fallout game. Because if they don't, I'm going to just buy
it.
Because that's like one of my favorite video games of all time. So it's like, I love Fallout. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love that game.
And Cool Stuff Inc., actually, we were there recently. They have the Fallout game there. Sitting there. And not only that, I seen some people when the last time I was at Cool Stuff Inc. actually playing Mysterium, which was like,
you're welcome.
I'm
really sad that I missed out on that.
Which we have to do because we're eventually going
to buy it and then just execute on that.
We're gonna end up revisiting games that we played before.
Cool.
And try to see if we can figure out, you know, why
changing,
we didn't like them
or changing
the dynamic to see if it'll make
works.
It better. Like,
Like a not a ghost that doesn't know how to give us clues.
You know, again, C-Bear, one thing that you...
Let me tell you, watching this game might have actually been more entertaining than playing it, because just the weird bullshit of like trying to send each other clues like looked really fascinating, but really irritating to play with.
Yeah, and the fact that if you add alcohol into the mix, oh. it just... It always makes it even funnier.
Yeah,
we were just, how far into that?
Oh, we were pretty bad.
Yeah, by the end of the night, like, everybody was pretty faded.
That was like around midnight. I think we started that game. Yeah, so we were pretty bad in that point.
Well, let me ask you: when it comes to different kinds of gaming, I know that there's different tabletops.
Right.
Is we were talking about Catan? Is resource management one of your favorite genres or subgenre in tabletop?
It's becoming that. I really enjoy the co-op aspect of those type of games. Like I know I think you guys had talked about Legendary before.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of games I like. I came to realize unintentionally that I like games where it's one against everybody else. Mm-hmm. Cause like I picked up Fury of Dracula, which ends up being one versus everybody else.
Oh, I did that. That was a lot of fun. I did that one. Yeah.
The Letters from Whitechapel, that one person's Jack the Ripper, everybody else is police officer.
Oh, like, nice.
I tend to enjoy the games where it's not just everybody against them each other, but it could just be everybody and
against
one person.
One, yeah.
Like Betrayal is like, I love that game.
Yes.
Oh, that is I think our only game that I think that we
I've definitely played it now.
We just
like
went for
four
10.
Or five times.
I think we actually gave it the highest score I think so
far. Yeah, I think we maxed out because of the flexibility of it and so many different types of things. And ultimately, like, you can just choose campaigns that you haven't done before. So,
right.
And you have like 35 different options. So that's pretty robust for a single game.
And have you guys tried the Baldur's Gate version?
There's a Baldur's Gate?
I'm already dropping mind bombs on you. Yes, there's a Baldur's Gate version. Actually, my best friend bought it. We've played it a few times already. They basically took everything from Betrayal that you loved, and then they listened to some of the complaints people had about the original game and changed it. Like, one big thing is you can't... there's no traitor within at least the first three omens.
Yeah.
Right.
Because now it's you roll dice equal to however many omens are out, not six dice from the beginning.
Yeah, it gets more complicated.
Oh,
so you're not in a four-square mansion when somebody's a werewolf.
Turns on you. Just like, oh, God, no, we gotta run!
Yeah, and it sold me when the first mission was Beholder's Dream of Electric Eye Rays. I was like, all right, Blade Runner, I like it. Let's do it. It's a really cool game. I can definitely get that, and we can try out that new version. Because if you loved the original, this one, now there's classes, there's rogues, there's paladins, and they have their own abilities.
Yeah,
nice.
Like, so it's really cool.
I've been fascinated with those types of games. I love roguelikes, so
okay.
I like when you can procedurally generate stuff, like switching into like video gaming. Guys played a game called Spelunky?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Spelunky is a procedurally generated platformer that you're supposed to have four levels. Then you go to a different world, another four levels, you go to a different world, and then it could be the end. But then if you do a bunch of like secret bullshit, you end up finding like super fucking hard levels beyond that. And
right.
It's one of those games where it's super fucking hard, but it's fair.
Right.
It's like, you fucked up. Every time that you die, you messed up. The game didn't cheat.
See, and I like games like that. Like, I'm trying to remember now. I believe Eternal Darkness was a good one that I like.
Well, the difference with Eternal Darkness is that was predetermined. Like that, those were like set levels. Like this is like you go into it, you don't know what
you don't
you're
know what's
get.
Going on. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I actually like that a lot more then.
Yeah. And I get that feeling more from Baldur's Gate more than like Betrayal, because Baldur's Gate is like, okay, I have a spec. I have a spec list and I'm gonna go out and okay, what is it gonna show up
here? Right. Right. I definitely think that game you need to especially like Baldur's Gate and you love that type of gameplay, all in on Baldur's Gate, the Betrayal version of it.
Okay, so how do you feel traditional board games or like things that have like a more complicated setup versus something with like card games? Like, have you tried Sushi Go or what's your split on there?
I tend to end up buying more complicated games.
You like the more complicated setups.
I love elaborate games where it's not just one option. Yep. Like Scythe is a perfect example. I don't if you guys haven't played Scythe yet.
No.
It's like a steampunk war game.
Okay.
And there's like the Nordics, there's you know, you have the Japanese clans,
you're mixing different.
And they have like airships now as expansions, but it's
a living board game?
The newest expansion that's coming out or hasn't come or is about to come out
okay.
makes it a living board game.
All right.
But typically it's not a living board game, but there's 7 different ways to win. You can either go for, because you have to finish achievements.
So it's like Civilization.
Yes.
Okay.
You can do the military route. You can do, by buildings, yeah. Intelligent. Like, so it's that level of complexity where it's not just you have to do this and that's it. I love that. I mean, at the same time, you can get, if it's a simple game like Love Letter, Batman Love Letter.
Yeah.
That it's literally just a deck of cards and whoever can get to 3 wins, that's it, you're done.
Right.
I'm okay with that too. Like, I tend to lean more to the complex games just subconsciously.
Right.
I can play whatever. I just love board gaming and period. I'll try anything.
All so right. So with your role playing group, do you find that you're doing more like at like tabletop playing or more board games with them?
So that's an interesting thing. So we were strictly really tabletopping up until maybe it was my son's 4. It was like a year before he was born. And then when this whole thing started and we started finding these games and like, hey, instead of role playing today, let's try this game out.
Right.
Yeah. And then it slowly steamrolled and like we don't duplicate games, but like Will Seabear got a bunch of games and then my son's godfather, he got a bunch of games and then I got a bunch of games and my best friend got our library went from like 3 games to
like 15 like, or 20.
Yeah, like 20 within a short time. So all we did was board game, then we stopped for a little bit, did tabletop again, and then we've been doing board gaming pretty much like strictly for like a year and a half now.
It gives you that flexibility because definitely if you're running campaigns, it's going to take a long time. You need something like as a palate cleanser.
Right. Right.
Right. Oh, I mean, Magic the Gathering came out because of the fact that they needed a palate cleanser.
Yeah, how fucked up is that?
So, like, is that really what it was?
Yeah, that's
really
what happened. Richard Garfield to play between D&D games.
Yeah, because they went, you know what? We need to do something that's not bashing a fucking orc in the face. I need to, you know, try something out by cards. Oh, here we go. Let's just start coming up with this. And
so fucked up.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Fucked up.
I like it though.
It makes complete sense.
It's genius.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
But then you see like, so an example, like what one thing that with Will and I that I picked up Imperial Assault, the Star Wars Imperial Assault game. Yeah. I love that game. And we also picked up Descent, which is miserable because it's so impossible if you're not the basically DM playing that game.
Really?
It makes it really hard on everybody else, on all the other players. But our argument was, his argument was, well, if we're going to play this, why don't we just role play? As opposed to, you know, because it's basically the same thing. You have a character, you gain abilities, same basic premise as a dungeon crawl. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So why wouldn't we just, and I'm like, yeah, but it's a little different. You don't have to set up, basically, you know, you don't have to rely on somebody and make them spend the time to make a story for you and do that, because I DM'd for the first time last year, and in 15 years of role-playing, and it was stressful as fuck for me.
It feels terrible for every DM. Like, I'm trying to design a campaign right now, and it is...
Pedro, you didn't tell me this.
Uh-oh.
I told you the basic idea that I had.
Oh,
for
yeah.
I feel betrayed. the betrayal.
it was an idea I had for finding a way to have a... I was trying to think of a way, because nobody likes to play more role-play-heavy classes, like Bard or certain types of roles.
Oh,
We've been talking about this for a while. So I wanted to come up with an idea of having a campaign that every person is split between 2 characters.
Okay.
The idea is that one group goes into a place to investigate it, and depending on how well they do, we'll be able to relay the information back to the combat group. So if if the first group fucks up, it directly affects the other one. And that might not be a good first one. maybe
that's your first time DM.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
A little more ambitious.
Yeah.
You know what? But it's
okay.
But it's okay. I mean, my first being a DM, mine was a whole evil campaign where everybody had to play evil going against good.
Okay. Oh, I love it.
And it was one of those where I shouldn't have done that, only because when you play evil campaigns, when you play an evil character, it's one of those things where it's either you're super serious about this or you're going to go batshit Deadpool crazy.
Hey, my evil character is a good balance between the two. He's sometimes crazy.
Oh, no.
Not all the time, though.
But here's the thing. When your party that you are DMing spends half the time chopping people's heads off. And then,
okay, yeah, it's a
you
little.
Know, and then using their blood to lubricate their swords half the time, right? All while the bard is playing music with somebody's ribcage because they actually made it.
That is
so
amazing.
I know, it's amazing.
That's great as a DM.
I would be teabagging everybody.
It's amazing.
You needed that NPC. What the hell?
It's amazing when you're playing the game, not when you're the DM. But and it's funny now, you know, we keep bringing up D&D. I as far as, you know, playing it and also being a DM, what I wanted to ask you guys, and this is something that I read earlier this week, and I told you guys not to talk about it until now.
Keep quiet.
because I wanted to hear it. Pretty much what this article is about is talking about D&D in general, spanning from all generations of the game, talking about goblin fights, saying how insignificant and useless a goblin fight is when it comes to a D&D campaign.
So stupid.
Right?
Yeah.
Right now, what the fuck? Their argument is that goblin is a emotionally inept creature. It's not intelligent. It runs in packs, very weak, and uses, for the most part, basic weapons.
Okay. Oh,
like man-made improvised weapons. That's usually something first level.
Right.
Sometimes border second level runs into.
Right.
And they feel that having those kind of fights, because all it is just an is a buffer for the next role play action, as opposed to just having an actual fight that's worth something. It's they end up trying to spin it in a way where it's more of an arduous task to fight goblins in the beginning of the game than it is to just say fuck it and role play.
See, now I definitely disagree with that because especially if you're starting a campaign level one, you've just recently rolled a new character, so you may have all these ideas about how that character works, but until you actually go and fuck something up for the first time, you're not gonna get a good feel for it, even from a role playing perspective. Never mind an actual, like, you know, mechanical perspective. So you need something. You need a small level thing like a goblin that's low stakes. It's not going to affect your campaign. It's a good warm up. Like, it's ridiculous. If the guy wanted to argue, you throw in another creature in there, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like that's what goblins are for in these things, especially at that low level. Like,
yeah, if not goblins, then what would it be then? You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where it has you. The only way I could describe it, it's like you have to fight a goblin. There's not maybe, you know, fight, you know, a kobold if you want. Oh, that's a little bit more, you know, apropos if you're in that area. But I don't know any other monster that you would fight that is not a goblin that you would end up like they. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. It's almost a classic.
It's the first encounter. You know, like to me, the way I look at it is the whole premise of D&D is you want to be this heroic, for the most part, unless you're doing an evil campaign.
Yeah.
You want to be this heroic character and be larger than life. You're the guy they call when they need help. What better way to get people into that mood if you're level one than there's 25 goblins in front of you and your party of five just manhandles them.
Yeah.
That makes you heroic. You saved the town. You did this. You did whatever. That's what they're for.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. They're fodder. Yes. They're shitty, awful little creatures.
They're experience points. That's all they are.
That is. Yeah. They even in Starfinder, I was talking about it with that. We're going to be, my buddy's going to be running a Starfinder game that just came out. They have space goblins. That they're literally goblins from the book, but with space suits on.
That's awesome.
Like, and I'm like, I'm down. I want to see just 20 space goblins just floating towards me in space because it's going to give me that heroic moment.
That sounds more like the what this guy has not had, maybe like good DMs have found ways of making that interesting, because like I definitely remember for like most of my campaigns, the DMs found ways of making that more interesting. It's like, yeah, I would say out of maybe the 12 or 15 campaigns I've done in my life, almost all of them have had goblins starting out, but most of them were in like unique situations.
Right.
And again, like I said, low stakes, easy to be able to take care of, good for warming yourself up for something larger down the line.
Right.
Yeah. And what I also think is, I think, by the way, this was on Kotaku. This was the article that was placed on Monday.
Okay.
It was actually, I think her name was Cecilia, was the one that wrote this. And
oh, no,
and
yeah, I've read her stuff.
Yeah. And she talks a lot about when it comes to role-playing games. I think maybe it's also the fault of the DM.
Yeah, that sounds more like a DM issue.
I understand running into goblins in the first level, but if you're a third level, group of third levels, or group of fourth levels, and you're still running into goblins, unless there's a specific situation as to why they're there, I don't see any reason as, oh, you're walking through a forest and goblins appear, attack them. I'm like, for that, you might as well. You know, that you can always...
Like a hobgoblin or a fucking bugbear or something.
No, we're dumb goblins.
Yeah, but at the same time, I can see where you can, again, if you're good enough, if you're a solid DM, you'll be able to, even at level 3, level 5, you can still figure out an interesting way
to bring
them
to bring
fodder.
In, yeah.
They're still going to be fodder, even more so when you're level you've got level 5 characters.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Or, you know, but put them with somebody interesting. Put them with other characters that are interesting.
Right.
They're the orcs
henchmen
in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
That are, you know.
In fact, that was
you put
the
orcs with the Uruk-hai leading them, and there
exactly.
you go.
Because the one idea that I had when I was one of the few times I actually played DM was a DM after watching. Of course, I watched the Two Towers. So, you know, after watching Two Towers and seeing that, and not I'm sorry, not even the Two Towers. Yeah, let's just go with that one. While I was watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy, it brought to my mind. The idea was you're on a platform that's going down a mine shaft, and as you're going down, all of a sudden, like in the fucking series, like in the fucking epic, all these goblins start climbing on top of the platform. And the thing is that, yeah, having a dozen of them, whatever, but the fact is that it's an overwhelming horde that you have to keep down. You have to keep a certain number off the platform before you can reach the end. If there's too many, it'll stop, and then you're just stuck.
Right.
And, you know, that was something that I brought to them, that even though they are still level one, level, you know, level two creatures, the fact that...
They swarm.
Not only that they swarm, that you're also adding in an extra bit to it. Like, if you're going to have them and after you're a level 10 or 11, there has to be a reason why
right.
they're there.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the only argument that I could kind of... that I can understand... the writer for that article, but other than that, I don't see why we shouldn't have goblins in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I'd go even further as you could figure it out later on too.
Yeah.
You could fit them in wherever and just incorporate it into the story.
Now, I have to ask you guys then, since we're going to talk about D&D for a moment.
All right.
What is your absolute, like, one creature that every time you see it, no matter how many games you have played, you just say to yourself, fuck you.
The two, Beholder and a Rust Elemental.
The Rust Elemental
is just constantly like...
The Rust Monster. It's not even called Rust Elemental. Yeah, it's just called Rust Monster.
It's just like, oh, cool. Well, there goes my fucking equipment. Like, oh, that's great. That's going to be awesome.
So ours is... Mine is a little lower level, but just because of the circumstances, it's nightmare fuel for me in my head, is Garrelon's.
Which are those?
They're not in the newer monster. They were in the older monster manual, but they were four-armed gorillas.
Oh, God.
Okay.
And they could rend.
Oh, God, no.
Yes. And we had in a situation where we were in, like, a jungle.
Uh-huh.
There was more than one of them.
Oh,
nice.
And I think they were, like, a CR6, maybe. I don't remember but it was just not pretty. And then a lot of the creatures, it's more the stories. Like, there was a Minotaur that literally, Seabear was running the game. That literally pretty much came in, butt fucked one. I think he was a ranger.
Oh my God!
Because he killed him in one shot and then took off.
Oh my God!
Like, oh wow!
And we were like, all right,
well,
no more Minotaurs.
Yeah,
yeah. No,
Minotaurs out the fucking door.
yeah,
Will has a habit of doing that. yeah. I don't think we haven't gotten there.
We haven't
gotten
to that level of fuckery yet.
Not yet, but we're about to.
It's gonna happen very soon.
The last time we recorded, definitely that was a very interesting time. It was the first encounter through all of the episodes that we recorded that I didn't take a dirt nap. Kenny,
right,
unfortunately,
you die
I die every episode. It's pretty bad.
Oh, no, not die. You're dying.
No, and the best with this one was, like, I saw my doom, and then Kenny and Caesar.
Yeah.
And Caesar both managed to, like, successfully climb up and cover my ass to get me the fuck away.
which almost
killed Kenny, which was pretty... I felt fucking terrible.
Right.
There was one time in one episode where it almost instant killed me. It took me from full health to almost half of my health, like, half again. And I was just like, Will, what the hell? Like, what? Hold back.
As somebody that's played a lot of tabletop games where Will's a run, I understand what you're
saying. Yeah, man.
Will likes to push. Like, here's the thing about DMs in general. I think that there are, there may be varying numbers, but it always falls down into the three that you have. One is the nonchalant casual guy that he doesn't worry about the rules as much. He'll even roll and look at his roll and go,
won. That was Josh.
You know.
That's what I kind of did.
Right? Yeah. And then
I
want to
tell a story, goddammit.
Then you have the new DM who's like, I want to make sure everything goes by the rules. Everything. There's a rule for everything. Let me pick up a book. A lot of third edition people are like that.
Right.
Okay,
I gotta look at the book.
What is Annihilation do?
I'd say 3.5 also. Like, right? A lot of 3.5 people are that way too.
Pathfinder, you don't find that too much.
Right.
3.75, you don't find that too much. But then there is the group, the person that wants to bring you to the inch of your life on purpose because he can. Okay,
he because just can't he can. Get off until he knows that you're just right on the cusp of death. Like.
Until you could have died, and then he goes, "Okay, now I will let go just a little bit." You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So yeah, what you do? Maybe. What you do is you just get them drunk, and then they just forget.
Yeah.
Right. Which, by the way, if you want to hear some of the escapades that we're having, well, we do have the other episode.
Our live play podcast, Brunch of the Dragons.
Yep. You can always check that out.
Kenny and I, 4 feet of fury, right there.
4 feet of fury. Love we it. Got you know.
I'm still wondering why the fuck he chose a gnome for me. Out of all the things, like, I understand why he chose a halfling for Kenny, but
why?
A gnome?
No, what? I don't understand why.
I don't understand. It's opposite. Because it's literally the opposite. Yeah. Of you.
But then why a gnome for you?
That's why I can't figure out.
Because it's another small person. I guess it's probably small character.
The beard? But he made me a wizard.
I guess. Maybe.
Yeah. Do you like wearing pointy wizards? Hats?
I don't know. Like, I stopped wearing them in the game because it kept killing me, so I'm just, like, have no hat on right now.
See, but that's the thing. It's like, it's funny because I don't play. As much as I play D&D, I tend to be – I don't play the fighter too much. I think I've only played –
You're a fucking berserker, dude.
I've only played Barbarian maybe twice.
That's not how you played it.
Right, that's not
game.
How I
Jesus.
Play. The thing
Kenny is
just,
like, okay, what is the distance until I can rush this guy? Like, they're like, 1, 2, rush.
I'm kind of the whore of the D&D characters because I've basically played a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah, a lot of experience.
Okay. Like, my favorite character was a rogue that I did, but it was not like the sneak attack rogue. It was more I'm skill-based and
right.
The talker and you know.
So do you do role-playing more for the RP part or more the mechanics and more like a traditional RPG?
I enjoy the role-playing part of it.
Right.
Like, especially, like, and I think the guys in my group will say it, like, they typically, they know I'm going to be the funny one or I'm going to be the absurd one. And then with my characters, I've made some really ridiculous characters before. That rogue was one of my favorite ones, but I enjoy the aspect of, and Will has a really good, he knows me enough already that he plays along with it and appreciates it as opposed to just murdering me
right
away. Like, right. He's like, okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I like it. And he'll let me do stuff out of the box that maybe is not really a rule.
Right.
But he's like, I like where your head's at, so let's do it.
It's just too good to say no.
Exactly.
Yeah, there has been moments where I've played a D&D campaign where things have fallen into place to a point that even the DM goes, I'm just going to let it happen.
Yeah.
There's just no other way. I mean, it's got to happen. Like, The only, like, for instance, and you'll hear it in Dungeons and Dragons, there's no other way to put it. The fact that our character, who is one of the guys, the half-orc paladin,
yeah,
decides to roll so high intimidation check at level 2 at the time.
He was a level 2. He rolled a nat 20 for intimidation, and Will rolled a critical failure.
Oh, Jesus.
Contesting it.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
And it changed
the
route.
The whole entire dynamic of that event. Was so drastically different than how Will wanted it. He goes, I'm just going to have to let it go.
I can't say no. No, this is recorded.
Yeah,
but it was great. But it was great because it was fabulous recording.
Okay, so you played D&D. What are some of the other some of the other types of games that you played, and which ones do you like more?
So basically, I've played third edition, 3.5, Pathfinder, 4th edition. Spycraft was a game that I really liked.
Spycraft, okay.
I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's crazy, but I was a Russian, like, I was the soldier. And I was
I've heard the story, yes.
You heard the story? I wasn't in the car?
Yeah.
Or pretty much you're just like, I'm just going to roll just to make sure I don't die.
Yeah, like, I was, our driver crashed, he critically failed, but he had an ability to get out of the car, and I was just sitting in there with two other people, and I was like, shit, and we crashed, and I had, like, one hit point left, so I just crawled out and survived.
This is fine, yeah. I'm okay.
This is fine.
You know, like, Vampire, I love the idea of Vampire.
Vampire Masquerade?
Not even the physical mechanics, but just the hierarchy and
that has like a really solid world. That one's good if you want to switch to a campaign that's almost all RP.
Yeah.
Like, well, that is a fluid. I like calling those as more of a fluid, board game, like a fluid D&D type thing, because you can play that as a LARP, as a live action role play. That easily transitions, just like Werewolf easily transitions.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody that has ever played that game that just sticks to dice roll, because it's very hard to...
It's too good.
It's too much of acting out. There's the only other way I can think about it. Only you have to act everything out. You actually have to demonstrate what you're doing, because that's how the game is. Like, All Flesh Must Be Eaten is a lesser known game.
Yeah, I have a copy.
So I'm saying that is also, just think of vampires. Just instead of Vampire Masquerade, it's zombies.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and you're playing like that. You have to play that character. You, if you are a fucking hillbilly from that has a shotgun in his hand with a fucking wobbled leg, you have to play that out.
Yeah,
you have to play that out.
All right,
you know what I mean. I think, I don't know, like, with me, I'm starting to enjoy more of the role-playing aspect now. I do enjoy the fighting in these role-playing games on tabletop.
Yeah, yeah.
But the role-playing is, I'm starting to have a lot more fun with that now, especially in the groups that I've been with,
It helps if you have a group that's willing to play. If you have a bunch of people that are more focused on just like, oh, I want to maximize it, they want to min-max their characters, you know, you're not going to be able to really enjoy role-playing. But if you have people that, like, you know, and are willing to be ridiculous with you, then it's well worth it to fuck around more.
Well, because you were asking about the other games I played, probably my favorite role-playing game that I've played up to this point is Scion.
Okay.
Just because the aspect of the mythology and, you know, like, you could be from the different mythos. And I ended up making, for my first character, I made a biker who was a son of Thor.
Okay.
And then he had a chain. His weapon was a chain that at the end he had a piece of Thor's hammer.
Okay.
And it was just such a cool idea of that, like, you're not a god at that point, but you're
like
this
a demigod.
Yeah. You're like this superhuman with this bloodline. So you're living in the real world, but you're doing these crazy extraordinary things. Like, my character died, went to Valhalla, death blow, him versus a giant cobra. They did the death blow to each other.
Yes!
Like, nice. I'm not even kidding. The death blows to each other.
Not even mad, no.
Yeah, and Will was like, do you want to come back? You can come back. And I'm like, no, he's in Valhalla. And I rolled a new character because I'm like, that's what he wants.
That's perfect.
That's exactly,
you know what?
I
like
go.
That. I like the dedication for the character. Yeah. You're like, no, that's, he wanted to be
there. Yeah, that's his ultimate goal is that.
Well, that's when you know when a game has succeeded is like when you hit a point that with your character in that world where you're just like, no, I don't want to keep this going. Like, this story ended and I'm good with that. Now let's just get somebody else.
Yeah, that's another reason I love that game so much, because it had that that feeling to me when I did it, that I lost this character that I'd been playing for months, but I was okay with it because
he reached
his apex.
You developed it to the point where you went there.
Exactly.
Okay, so one last question for me. You know, we talked about video gaming earlier.
Yeah,
Tell us a little bit more about like some of the games that you like, some of your favorite game genres, that kind of thing.
Sure. I actually tend to like, I'm very open when it comes to my gaming. Board gaming, video gaming, everything. Like, I'm very, even music, everything. Like, I know that's a different topic, but Fallout has always been a favorite of mine.
Right.
Somebody doesn't like Fallout.
No, I love Fallout.
No, he loves Fallout.
Oh, I love Fallout.
I thought I heard from one of the episodes of Talking Geek, somebody didn't like Fallout.
I think that might have been Steph. I think Q tried it, and that might not have been her thing.
Okay.
She's more of a, the thing is that she's more of a first-person shooter. I know Fallout is more of an
RPG
aspect.
You can play it like a mediocre first-person shooter.
Right. But I like the setting, like
the world,
like that, but I mean, I play sports games, FIFA. I mean, I'm a big soccer fan, so play FIFA, Madden. I'm a big football fan also.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
You know, like wrestling games. I get every year.
Oh man, you've been in the dearth of bad ones.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I'm sorry, dude.
Those graphics specifically are the worst part of it.
But I mean, I still get them, and now that Best Buy's got that deal going on, that like you pay an extra $8 when you buy the game. Mm-hmm. And if it's a game that has a new release every year, you get the next one for free.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
You just return that copy, and you get the next one for free, pay another $8.
I like that.
It's only
$8?
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually
worth it. That's actually really good.
That's actually worth
it. That's
the
way the guy explained it to me when I picked up WWE 2K18.
Okay.
That's the way he explained it to me. I haven't tested it yet, obviously, because the game just came out, but I'm hoping if it works that way, that's perfect.
No, if it's for $8, yeah, it's absolutely.
But,
see, but that's one of those games that even, you know, and I've seen it where the graphics are not that great, but it relies a lot on the fact of what's in it, the content.
Well, I played 2K17 at a friend's place, and I will tell you that game does not control well. The systems, I think it's very frustrating how you had a game that nailed it with the N64 ones. Mm-hmm. There's connected with Fire Pro. Have you guys ever tried Fire Pro Wrestling?
Yeah.
Those games are fucking
great.
Fire Pro was great. And they nailed that kind of gameplay almost 20 years ago. And they still haven't been able to find something that can find that, because yes, that's more arcadey, but there was balance to it in a way that these games don't have. They don't have the right feel, they don't have the right balance. Like, how can you fuck that up for that long?
Yeah.
Like, and No.
Well, it's just, I was just going to say, and the pay-to-play aspect that's going on now.
It's fucking terrible.
The microtransactions.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. Like, for NBA, or I mean, for WWE 2K18, like, I can barely unlock anybody unless I spend money. Ugh. Or spend
really?
Hours playing.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, so that's I have bad. To pick and choose. Do I want to level up my guy that I created, or do I want to spend the money to buy a wrestler that I'll use every so often?
A guy that you, you know, a guy
yeah, but a guy
that,
that
like.
I love. Like, you know. Yeah.
Going off on what you were saying, Pedro, I think one of my favorite wrestling games was actually WCW versus NWO.
Oh, so yeah. Good. No, that series.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. It's bad that the graphics were the only thing that was a hindrance, and at that time that was the best graphics available.
Right.
Now they have the opportunity to step up the graphics. One, in my opinion, they haven't done that. And two, the actual gameplay is so rigid, it's ridiculous.
Well, did you guys ever play the Def Jam wrestling games?
I loved those games.
It's the same engine.
Is it really?
It's absolutely the same engine where you have the soft grapples, the hard grapples, the soft strikes, and the hard strikes.
I love
that. And it functions exactly the same as those wrestling games. And the only difference is that it puts fucking rappers in there, and it played great. So it's like, hey, guess what? You used this in another time, and it played fucking fantastic. Why don't you fucking go back to this?
You know what the best part is?
The only thing I can think of is that maybe somebody owns the engine and they don't want to give it up. But like that's already like over a decade old. Like that's got
to
be already.
Someone has the
gone.
Rights to it.
Well, if you got the WWE money though, and then you're not doing anything with that engine.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
Well, probably because those games sell like fucking crazy every year. They sold really well because there aren't any other licensed games. So they have no reason to change it. Like there's nobody else is going to get the fucking license.
Right.
People keep buying it. So what's the point?
Actually, you know what? I think I stand corrected. I'm wrong. The actual game that I liked from WWE was Legends of Wrestling.
That one was pretty fun too.
That
because
was
it was
fun.
Very arcadey.
It was fun. It was arcadey, and you know what? I enjoyed that more than the way that I play 2K17, 2K16. I'd rather do that. Def Jam, by the way, and you could play Henry Rollins, which I thought was
awesome.
That
was awesome.
Yes. Which I thought was awesome.
Yes.
But why play Henry Rollins when you could be Method Man all day, every day?
And what was
or
his
Ghostface
finisher?
Killer.
Or Ghostface Killer.
With the big eagle bracer.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
What was his finisher? Kicking you in the nuts repeatedly.
That's amazing. I wish they would have done like the from the opening from the original Wu-Tang album, the I'll fucking get spiked bat
God,
and just keep beating
awesome.
You and beating you. But
man.
But yeah, just to I also love RPGs, Final Fantasy. I just hacked my SNES to
nice.
Get Secret of Mana, Earthbound,
nice.
And all that stuff.
Did you get Seiken and Setsu 3? The Secret of Mana 2?
I'm not sure. I think so.
That one
because my buddy hacked it for
that's
me.
That's a fan translation that they did like maybe 12 or 15 years ago at this point.
Okay.
And that one does work. There are some games that don't work on hacked SNES minis. That one does work. So
I got to double check because my buddy, I haven't even gone through all my games yet. Because I stopped. Final Fantasy 3 popped up and that's all I've been playing.
Oh.
Wait, Final Fantasy 3 or Final Fantasy 6?
Well, it's Final Fantasy 6.
Okay.
That one was in stock. That one didn't even have to be hacked. So luckily they realized like, oh, everybody's going to want this game.
Yeah,
so let's
exactly.
get it in there.
They put Contra 3 for some Alien Wars for some reason.
Well, because, okay, so Konami is, they're a fucking trash heap right now. They've actually have not re-released the original Contra on any format since when they released Contra 4. There's a version of the original Contra on there.
Okay.
Ever since then, it's only been Super C from the NES.
Okay.
So they have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
Oh, my God. We could go on this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm already loving this.
There you go. Now you're warmed up for the future here.
You know, but there's going to be so much more that we're going to talk about, especially since now that we got a new co-host in, we are for sure going. The next episode you're going to hear from us is going to be the game that you're going to choose for us.
Oh,
you don't have to give us the name for it right now.
Okay.
You know, I would love to just, we'll keep people anticipated, and then we'll just start playing them. Even still, who knows? We might play two or three and just talk about it from there. You know, besides that, I think this is going
to
be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. This is
going to be a start of a beautiful relationship.
I love it.
I love you guys already. The three amigos.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can we become best friends?
Well, guys, you know, as always, you know, I want to go ahead and ask Pedro where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S. And you can find me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the robot anime.
And you can find me on Instagram. I have recently changed
it
to Mr. Underscore.
You did it?
Yes.
Oh, it's
Mr.
Official.
Underscore with the underscore.
No, it's Mr. Underscore under underscore score.
Yes, exactly. It is Mr. Underscore with the underscore in between each word.
Yeah,
so
Q's
and you can
kill
find
you.
Me, yes, of course, on Instagram. You can also find me on Twitter because I haven't changed it yet to K Skeets. You can find me there. And Jeff, where can they find you?
So I'm reactivating my Twitter because I haven't really tweeted in a while, but since I'm starting to do all this stuff, but I'm going to change my name because it's really bad. It's GMerc82.
Oh,
that was my original Instagram one.
Everybody needs to know your age.
Exactly. I'm going to be changing that. I haven't figured out a name yet, though. But that's my Instagram. I'm starting to become way more active on social media. I kind of weaned off when I had a kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting, priorities. You know, yeah. So now that he's somewhat self-reliant, I'm able to to get back into it. You can also catch me on the Mount Geekmore podcast, Shiver podcast, which we do horror movies. And then with these guys.
Yeah, now for this
Uncritter
one.
Die. That's how you got to say it. Now it's going to be Uncritter Die.
Uncritter Die.
So again, Pedro, you know,
and
we
now
just
got to get to the park. Soon you'll learn about this, Jeff, when we get real sexy at the end of it and we start whispering right here and we get real, real close.
I like it.
As we whisper it to everybody's ear until we speak to them next time.
Now instead of two people, now it's three.
Now three people, triple the ASMR.
You're almost going to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. The pig whisper you to sleep.
Again, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Crit or Die.
Thank you.
Until next time, guys. Peace.